Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of the Channel. Sports and Death is the show. And before Larry Hardis introduces us, it's prayer time. John Coltrane in the background. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord, for little things that we so largely take for granted. We thank you for being our God, for being our Savior. And you are God all by yourself. Happy birthday, dear Lord, to my beloved daughter, Timothy, who celebrates her 30th birthday. The more important, Lord, give us not what we want, but what we need. More of you. And let's keep the Sabbath holy. And thank you for your darling son, Jesus, died on the cross that we may have the right to the tree of life. And I say this, that you may not be everybody's God, but you are God. God all by yourself. As that man once said, we may not live on Park Avenue, but by the grace of God, we don't live on a park bench. We ask these blessings and all of the blessings. Name your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Larry Hardis, introduce us, please.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
It's a Sunday. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports in Depth of the show. As the CEO, Neil Blago says, Doc, slow down. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of the Channel, Sports in Depth of the Show. It's another Sunday. And the Giants won a big one. Miami now has lost to both New York teams. They're still undefeated. And a big, big football game this afternoon out of MetLife Stadium. Want to say hi to Big C, who's back at the controls with us. Big C, how's everything going?
Everything's good. Nice to be back.
Well, it's good to have you
back.
Well, it's been good, you know, and before we even kick this off, you know, we've got to talk about the, I think we should have Dusty, Lady A should be joining us. Got some interviews for us, too. Don King was back in town. The panel's in town. Who's that?
The panel's in.
Okay, and Dusty.
We're all here, I hope.
Okay, Rooney, just back off. You know what I mean? Don't start this stuff. You just stay some off green tight
hey,
and that black mask on.
I do want to say
on.
Welcome back, C.
You know, we'll just say, you're right because Mel is the greeter. He's the unofficial. Well, he's the official greeter here on Sports and Def. That great line he came with Sports and Def Nation. Giants won the big game today. 5-2 coming off the bye week. We're gonna have to do some interviews with Brandon Jacobs here. Well, we've got Kareem McKenzie. Don King was going to also be with us today. We talked to Don earlier this week, along with LaDainian Tomlinson and some other interviews here, Coach Coughlin. In fact, maybe we will start. Well, actually, you know, what we're going to do, you know, the World Series is over. Texas lost in seven games, one strike away from wrapping things up twice in the sixth game, took it to the seventh game. And the big question now is, will the great Albert Pujols return to the Cardinals? You know, he's a free agent. He's had the greatest first 5 or 6 years of any player in the history of baseball. I saw maybe last year this time, and they had a poll where they were voting of today's players who was the consensus future Hall of Famer, and LaGoria from the Tampa Bay Devil Rays was a lead voter. And I was saying, how could LaGoria be the lead voter? Albert Pujols is Hall of Fame bound right now. If Albert Pujols didn't get another hit, okay, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer now. Gang, I need everybody to remember now, don't need any background noises on your telephone because your telephone is a microphone, so I need those noises deleted. You know, this is a show that we're looking for perfection. It's part of Rainbow Soul, and our CEO is always listening in. So, gang, I need you top shit. Well, you are. You're the best there is. And something happened. Lady A called me ecstatic, you know. But you know, I'm not surprised. I've said this before. That great line that Walt Whitman always said, I may deserve my enemies, but I may not deserve my friends. And I do not deserve. And you know, I've told you here on this end. Thing what I'm proud is because you know, through all the things about, and Don King is going to say his famous line: "Working together works." And it's a team. It's a team effort, and I've said this repeatedly. My crew, you know, you can't touch my crew. I mean, so maybe we're not including Dusty in this, but on the real side, you can't touch my crew.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Feliz Navidad. And what I want to say here is, I mean, I cannot, now Dusty said something a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about this whole thing with Margarito. And Dusty said, "Wait, Mike Tyson had to apologize for being disrespected and attacked at a press conference." And Margarito is almost killing people. Dusty told you this. It was here. It was here where Sea Wings, okay, Cedric Raymond told you that our president, had taken down Bin Laden here first. So many things. Harold Weston has told us to be done. And I'm just so, last week, Lady A started talking about some boxing. And lo and behold, as if my buddy Tim Smith is tuning in, and anybody here that's listening, you can listen to the show, 914-338-0695. You can listen. What I want to do, because Big C, you still with us? I know you're going to be doing some panel work. We want to talk a minute or two. Give us the website one more time.
It's DocStanleySports.com.
And on that site, yeah, Lady A was here because we said, "Doc, you don't have a problem. You have a museum." and going through here, there are some things that it's amazing. My sister called me yesterday. She said, "You know, your friend, Julius Erving, is auctioning off some stuff. His uniform that he played in his last game as a Sixer and his championship ring that he won with the Sixers in 1983. And for those of you who are basketball fans, I have, and a couple of pair of custom-made sneakers they have. So for you basketball fans, here in the Sports Network Hall of Fame, we've got some Jordan sneakers here. We've got some Dr. J sneakers here. We've got a pair of Kobe. We've got some Shaq. We got the Mark Jackson.
Doc, don't forget Roy Jones shorts.
Listen, we're talking basketball here. You know, right away, you know what? There's two things about this woman. She's a boxing in, and all her men are boxers. You know, Roy Jones.
Harold.
But we've got, you know, what I was amazed by, and this is my man Steve Glazer, who always talks about Brazil, you know, 250 miles away from the equator. I'm astonished by some of the things that I have. And on the way coming from the game today with the astute Jamie Harris, renowned sports writer from Legendary Amsterdam newspaper, my man Rudy, Jason from The Beacon, and we were talking about Satchel Paige. And it hit me. I said, "Well, you know, I met Satchel Paige." And not only that, I met Satchel Paige, but in the Sports and Death Hall of Fame, we have two Satchel Paige. In fact, I'm putting together a collage with one of the autographs of Satchel Paige. And I met Satchel Paige. I have a Joe Louis autograph. I have a Kid Gavlin autograph. I have a Bo Jackson. I have a Joe Louis autograph. And basketball fans, I thought about Julius. I've got two or three pair of his sneakers in the Hall of Fame. I've got three pair of Jordans. I've got George Gervin, a couple of Charles Barkley, Allen Iverson.
Doc, I have to interrupt right now, Doc, in regard to Charles Barkley. I'll be brief. Mm-hmm. The panel and fans were at the Garden one day, Doc and I, after a Knick game. We're backstage in the locker room.
Come
and
on,
Doc
man.
Introduces me to Charles Barkley. And in the middle of the introduction, he also says, "Charles, where are my sneakers, man? Where are my sneakers, Charles?"
Charles, I'm sorry, man. I know you're a pair of sneakers, man. That's right. And I'm like, Ken Dodd Badger and Charles Barkley. We all just cracked up about the whole thing. I never forgot that you introduced me to Charles. Well, you know, you've been, I got, I got, I got, I have an article for you that the great man Boykin did introducing Mel Smith. I saved it for you from The Beacon, as well as a nice photo of you with John Stark. I have a bit of John Stark. You know, Charles Barkley is a big boxing guy. There are guys who, him, Kevin Willis, Allen Iverson, my friendship began with John McEnroe. I saw McEnroe ringside at the Tommy Hearns Ray Leonard fight, and when the next time I saw McEnroe, we started talking boxing. And one of the things I remember, you know, with McEnroe, is we were at a fair one time, and I asked him to autograph a picture for me. and he autographed a picture. And when I went home, I was astonished to find out that he put on the picture your friend, John McEnroe. And I asked John, because he's a big boxing fan, too. In fact, he had a display down there by Howard Bingham, Muhammad Ali's number one friend, and turned out to be his personal photographer over the years. I have the book here, and he called me. I was down at the legendary Larry Hardesty. Larry was doing his shows out of Mickey Mantle then. I got a phone call. Hello, Doc Stanley. Just a minute. Mr. Macklin wants to speak to you. And it was John Macklin, the greatest center player I ever saw. I think Macklin was the greatest. And he still has the record 84-3 for one season. And he said, Doc, I want to apologize. I meant to call you earlier, but can you come down here tomorrow? I've got an exhibition here, Howard Bingham. Come on, twist my arm, Mackie. I'll be there. And in the ensuing process, I asked him one time to send me, Macklin, when you get a chance, could I have one of your old rackets? I get a call from the secretary. Doc Stanley, in about 20 minutes, the racket, Mr. McEnroe, it'll be hand-delivered to you. So these are some of the things that, that are here. Can't take it with me, some things. But they're all definitely, here for the right price to a certain degree. Some things I
took my mind. Doc, don't forget, too, the Roy Jones hand wraps.
And don't interrupt me again about anything about Roy Jones. This could be your last panel. There's some people, they tell me, the late, great Clayton Riley told me that Thelonious Monk loved chocolate pie. And he had a member in the band that was going to come home, that he was going to have, and he said, Monk followed them home. The thing that marveled her so much was, hey, Doc, you got hand wraps? There's Lennox Lewis, the Hector Camacho, there's Ina Blakely. Then she said, you got any of my baby Roy Jones Jr.? Oh, God. I mean, she's driving. She almost had an accident. I can't believe you got Roy Jones Jr.'s raps. It reminded me of that great line with the great Dave Winfield. Winfield said he was at a game at the baseball game, and Magic Johnson came, and all the ball boys saw Magic and Dave Winfield talking. Dave was funny. Dave said, he said that they couldn't believe when nobody like me knew Magic Johnson. Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Never the Show. We've got the images for you, but right now we get to the panel. We've got Lady A, we've got Dusty, we've got Little Coco. Is Harold Weston with us tonight?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Harold.
Harold.
Harold was at the deal. Thing with Don.
Speaking of boxing, did my panel, did my entire panel read the great story today by Tim Smith.
Well, we're going to talk about that, because what happened is...
And the state of boxing, which echoes... this is brand new this week.
No, Dusty, he's saying... Listen, what he's saying is that we spoke about it. Like in other words, we've been talking about it for two weeks.
We were speaking about it since the show began.
Listen, did you read the segment that he said on there? Because I brought it up to Doc, and I said to him,
I have the whole, and I'm a pack rat.
Listen, the segment that he says, restoring the luster of boxing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, that's what Harold and I were just talking about last week.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. I mean, this is in-depth. It's almost like if Tim Smith interviewed us.
No, he listens to the show.
And we sat down at a round table, and we cried on his shoulders because he wrote exactly what we've been talking about. And the lead of the band was Harold Weston.
You know, how many times has Tim been on the show? So, Tim has got a pulse. Tim may be listening, but Tim has been part of our – in fact, we got to do one day.
I know that, of course.
Just a round table again with the boxing guys. But he talked so much about – in fact, Lady A, why don't you lead us off on this, because you brought it up. Get off your chest.
Well, I mean, when I started reading the story, the first thing that jumped out, just like Dusty said, was – our conversations in the past and some of the things that are going wrong with boxing. A couple of the key points that jumped off the page of me was something, because Harold is the man. He talks about how, what's going on with the promoters. And when I started reading the article, the things that jumped off the page was, hey, the change that was going on with Ross Greenberg and what's his name? What's this guy from Showtime?
Ken Schramm, the new guy.
Yeah, Ken, what's his name?
Ken Schramm.
You,
He's coming from Showtime.
Yeah, he's coming from Showtime. I can't think of his last name. I know his first name is Ken.
Sure.
But, you know, the transition now from him leaving Showtime, going to HBO, and a lot of the things that Harold had mentioned, which was the thing going on with the promotion, with the promoters, and, you know, he mentioned as well that there were 25 boxing shows coming up this year on HBO, and yet already four of them have already been given to Golden Boy. You know,
because of the fact, like we said before, that Golden Boy has the in on HBO. Him, HBO and Schaefer are like almost bed partners.
Yeah,
and
but the other thing, Dusty, the other thing that stood out.
But this is what I said to you many times before, that's what the lawsuit with the ownership of promotional rights to Pacquiao was contended by Bob Arum and Golden Boy, because Golden Boy gave Pacquiao $50,000 signing bonus after Bob Arum was supposed to promote two or three fights for him. Bob Arum was not too speedy in promoting those fights, and Golden Boy swiped or Shanghai Golden Boy, but Bob Arum sued, and everything was reversed, and Pacquiao had to give the $50,000 back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the point, that Schaefer has maneuvered HBO to be practically its own cable company, and everybody else has fallen by the side,
right,
especially Bob Arum.
Hold on, gang. Okay, Harold,
you said
the reason why that Ross got fired was because he had made sort of a deal, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, the fact was is that, and you know, the whole caboose is these guys is already planning who's going to be the promoter of these shows. I mean, if you got 24 shows and you're already handing out four dates to certain promoters,
exactly,
then you're doing a cahoots in a situation where you're supposed to be giving it out for the best show, best fight that the promoter puts on the table,
right?
Those fighters supposed to be bid for those dates. But don't tell me you automatically get those dates. So what it is that it's almost like inside trading.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's inside trading. Because basically you already committing, telling these promoters, go out and get the fighters, you got the dates, but you know what? The other promoters can't get the dates. So basically I might
they're
have to let a fighter, but I can't get a date on HBO
right.
or ESPN or nothing. Because the other fighters are in cahoots with each other, promoters are in cahoots with each other, and they're not playing the game right. The game's supposed to be the best fight be put on TV. And
right.
that's where they lost the interest, and people got lost the interest in boxing. And
right.
the fact is
exactly.
that over the last 25 years, boxing has went down the drain because of all this nonsense of trying to, these guys getting dates, and they giving you mediocre fighters that can't fight. And he's going to tell you that he's the next superstar. Give me a
and
break.
They
people are not blind.
Too.
Yeah, people are not blind. And that's how they lost it. The people have lost their interest in the sport. But you know what?
Yeah.
I will bring it back with Panther Promotion next year. I have just made a date, a big deal. That's one of the biggest deals in boxing history.
Okay,
well,
Harold, can you give us the date? What's the date, Harold? Can you give us the date?
The dates are going to start January 12th and 13th.
Uh-huh. And where's it going to be at?
All over the world.
Yeah, see, I love Harold because he's trying to. He's
calm
doing it
down,
all over.
Calm
I
down,
love
baby,
it all
Harold,
over. He's doing
down.
It all over, man.
Calm
By
down,
the way, his name is Ken Hirschman. Ken Hirschman is the guy that's taking over for HBO.
Oh,
yeah,
the new guy.
Ken Hirschman.
There's some things that happened too with Don. What we're gonna do now? Let's get to Don. We're talking boxing. Let's get to Don. Bernie Dillon was there. You know. Harold got there, and the thing about Harold, and you know, Harold knows all these guys. He's worked for Don as I did, but he worked at a higher, bigger capacity. And all these guys, when Harold was there, I mean, Don acknowledged Harold, Bernie Dillon, a name from the past, or one of the good people in boxing, I believe. Harold can validate that later on. He was there. It was just, you know, Harold, and this is something that me and Harold can share together. You know, we've known Don. I found out years ago through the great Larry Hardesty that I was the first ever radio sportscaster to give Don an on-air interview, something that he always remembered. And you know how it was so good in the wake of the loss of Miss Henrietta and what Don has been through a little bit health-wise, just to see him back up there in so many ways, reminiscent, Harold, of the old Don King.
Well, you know, Don is going to be Don. You know, as simple as that. And you know, right now, you know, we all not going to be here forever. And Don is doing his thing at the, you know, at these moments. I praise him because he's 80 years old, and he's still doing what he wants to do. And you know, eventually, like I'm saying, you know, we all got to just move it on and get pass it on to the next generation. And you know, like right now, you know, I got a young group of guys that's coming up on my team that are doing it. And Don is, you know, it's like the Aram and Don is going out the window. Okay, if they're around the next 3 years, God bless them. All right, but I don't see them being around. Aram is not going to be around after Manny Pacquiao lose or retire.
Yeah, he's gone.
There's not enough for him to go after.
Don
is just being here. Don is just doing something to be doing something. That's all Don is doing. So basically, you know, it's right at this time we got to reshuffle the deck of boxing. And that's what we're getting ready to do, because we can't keep this same pattern that they've been doing for the last 25 years. And we got to make a lot of changes because nobody's satisfied. Mm. Nobody's really satisfied. And you have crippled the sport because of the fact that everybody has got this little monopoly going that is not working for the people. It's for the people.
Yeah, what you're saying, Harold, is that everybody here.
For the people.
Hold again. Hold tight. What you're saying here, Harold?
Well, my thing is that, you know,
everybody's going for self.
You got to get more trainers back in the gym, better trainers. You got to get better fighters going to start developing.
Well, Harold, how can you get better trainers when they ain't there?
They are there. But the thing is that's when I have my press conference in the next couple of weeks, y'all will hear how this whole thing will fall together.
Okay, write down, everybody, hold on, everybody calm down, right now, we're going, this is amazing. I just got my man Brian Funches from Fortaleza, Brazil, gives me a football score in America. Eagles up 21-0 with about 10 minutes left in the second half.
They're killing them, Doc.
They're killing them? Okay, who's this?
C-Wings,
okay.
Good evening to the panel.
Oh, good, C-Wings. Okay, everybody, hold tight, see when we get back to you, we'll talk some Jet football, Giant football, but let's talk to, I think, unequivocally, the greatest promoter. Hold on, go ahead, lady.
I just want to say one thing.
No, well, hurry up and say it, please.
one second. I want to say one thing. Much kudos to Harold. You know what? Harold is real. And you know what? Harold's the one dude I know that when Tommy Hearns was rocking the Jerry Curl, he was still making the afro look good. So you got to give him credit.
Harold told me? What I love about Harold, because Harold's on it. Harold talked about, they would talk about Harold. And Harold told me something. Harold said, you know, if Tommy Hearns had stamina, he'd have lost to nobody. But he said Tommy hit you in the – we're going to be getting back to that. That's right now. Let's go and listen to the greatest promoter in the history of this game from Cleveland, Ohio, Mr. Don King.
It's just a boxing match because don't nobody know none of the fighters.
Don, what do you think? The fights that we just talked about, those are the type of fights that have ruined the fans.
Well, let me go into my press cover. You know I'm on – and I'm going in there. And how is your mom, man?
My mom?
You know what? Chuck Dolan has been my friend for over 40 years. You know, I've watched Chuck with all of his kids and Jim Dolan, you know, the dynamic Jim Dolan. Even that may not agree with everything that he says, but he's a dynamic individual and he's going to do what he thinks he should do. And whatever it is right or wrong, indifferent, is Jim Dolan. You know what I mean? So I love Jim Dolan. You know what I mean? So definitely anything that the Dolans do, I will be involved in it because they're involved with America. And America is what I'm really pumping for, not anyone's team. Black and white alike, working together works. And that is my motto, man. So New York is my town. It's so great they named it twice. New York, New York.
You know? Can you see yourself doing something at the Boston Center in Brooklyn with the New Jersey? Jay-Z,
yeah, Jay-Z's got a part of that, man. That's great, you know, and I love Jay-Z, you know what I mean? He's taken from nothing to something, and yesterday is nobody, today is somebody, you know what I mean? So I want to be able to work with that center and work with them, work with all parts of New York, man. It's a little bit of everything in the world in New York. This is a world center, a mecca, you know what I mean, of the underprivileged, the downtrodden, and denied. So we want them to be recognized. That's why they're down there marching on Wall Street. Change, you know what I mean? So I got to go down there and see them, you know what I mean? Because whatever it is that they're fighting for a better America, I want to be a part of it.
DK, is this digital all over again? You know, you another television deal. If you made HBO, you made show
Showtime, and now once again, Don King is bringing to the forefront another television network. I mean, let's be honest. HBO didn't exist until you came to it. Showtime exists only because HBO was ignorant of the situation. Which, once again, Don King is bringing a television network to prominence, and boxing will be the beneficiary.
The people will be the beneficiary, and boxing, most certainly, that is the catalyst that brings them together. And again, you know, I wasn't smart enough when I was building HBO and all of them to get stock in there to do something and I can have some semblance of what it is. And what they do is they, you know, they know that you're the only one that can tell the story, so they kick you to the curb, you know what I mean? So it being that way, if out of sight, out of mind, and all of the achievements and accomplishments that they say of HBO, they will say they did it, you know what I mean? You know, but it's the thing here, I went to South Africa, and in South Africa, you know what I mean, the schoolmaster and the principal and the minister of education got up and he made a speech, you know what I mean? He said, "We will always remember you as the nigger who did it," you know what I mean? And that's the highest compliment they can make of me, because any time that you're black, one drop of Teutonic blood, everything goes to nourish to that Teutonic blood, all the good, glorious things. One drop of Negroid blood goes, everything evil and awful and that diminishes mankind, odious to the body of politics, goes to that. So you know the one thing you must always recognize, if the nigger did it, then ain't nobody wants to do it, because the one thing that the white man and the nigger got in common, they both hate niggers.
The one and only Don King. Let's talk football. Sea Wings, big game today for the Giants. I know you're a Jet guy. On the other hand, New England, if I believe, they lost the game in Pittsburgh. Am I correct? Was that the final?
Yes, they did.
They lost 25-17.
Okay. So that's a plus for the Jets. And the Giants go to New England next week, so they could help the Jets too. I've got the LT on it. We'll talk to him later. Right now, and this is Coach Coughlin, we're going to have him on too. The Giants won a big game. Miami has lost to both New York teams, but let's talk football. What's happening in the Jet camp? What's happening in the world of football there?
Well, the Jets, you know, coming off a bye week, 4-3, we go to play the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, who also won. They blew out Washington today, 23-0.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Jets should pull it out. I give them a win. 27-24 over the Buffalo Bills. We had a lot of big, high-profile games today. For one, the update on the Philadelphia-Dallas game is 21-0. They're just putting a hurting on the Dallas Cowboys, who have been under a lot of scrutiny this year. One, against the, you know, on their quarterback. Early in the year, they said Tony Romo was a Hall of Fame quarterback, a future Hall of Famer. Not the way he's playing, and the turnovers. We see when they played the Jets in game one during the 9/11 game, they would have won it, but, you know, you can't be a Hall of Fame quarterback and give up these big plays. I mean, it's just simply ridiculous there that they can say that this guy is a great quarterback, and it's not. It's not. And they're starting to say that about a guy like Tim Tebow, who they lost today. That was another big game, 45-10. He was sacked more than three times today. I mean, they just put a hurting on him as well.
The thing that I've said here, and we sit there in Baltimore and watch it happen, and I think, well, Rooney is so much against the offensive coordinator, but the thing I've said here, you know, I don't see Sanchez as being the guy that's going to carry this team, even though, ironically, he's taken him to the championship game twice, but he's just not developing enough. I've said we need, Seagreens, an outstanding, I mean, Clay Burrell. We need a backup quarterback that can come in. The kid can learn from my quote. We cannot continue to lose football games while Sanchez is learning the game. We need an outstanding backup quarterback. Seagreens, you weren't here last week. Dovetail on that for me.
Well, I think the problem with Sanchez, he tries to force the plays, tries to force a completion rather than throw the ball away. I think he's improving on that since the last two seasons. Also, I think it's his size, too. That's a big problem. He's only 6'1". These defensive linemen standing, most of them, the average one is about 6'6", 6'6", Well, between 6'4 and 6'6. That's just without raising his hand. Once they raise their hand in defense, that adds another 3 feet to it. I mean, you have to be able to see over these linemen, defensive linemen. And he gets down on himself when he throws an incomplete pass. And then he takes himself out of the game mentally. And that destroys him. I think if he improves on that, if he really sees the game, because you see a guy like Cam Newton, he's putting up ridiculous numbers.
Yeah.
Ridiculous numbers. If he goes at this rate, he's going to beat Dan Marino's record.
Well, he's
if he six, stays
he's
healthy.
He's 6'4", isn't he?
Yeah, but he's
6'4", 250.
He's a little
Mark
bit bigger.
Sanchez is not.
Yeah, he's 6'1". Mark Sanchez is really not a big quarterback.
AC, you remember when we went to that game, the 9/11 game, and what you told me about the Dallas' defensive line?
Right. Big guys. They're big guys. They can't stop Philadelphia tonight, but...
But, you know, the problem here that I see is the fact that, just like Harold about boxing, guys who show promise without much indoctrination and learning
mm-hmm.
the game or the skill
yep.
are pushed to the forefront and fighting for world titles. Sanchez was the marquee with the $55 million contract that was going to be the starter coming out of college right there to lead the Jets to the Super Bowl. And like I told you last week, he's an apprentice with a lot of talent, but he hasn't learned the game. He should have been a backup, like a lot of these guys who were backups, like to Joe Montana and most of these guys.
Dusty Barton was a backup quarterback in Green Bay for 8 years, Dusty.
And learned the game. Exactly.
8 years.
And learned the game the way it's played. You don't say, okay, rookie, you just come out of USC. We're going to sign you to $55 million. You were great in USC, and I know you're going to be great in the NFL. That's nonsense.
You have to look at the business aspect of football.
Exactly.
He's in the number one market in any sport.
Right.
He's in the New York market. So it's they have to market him like that. Then you have the coach, Rex Ryan. We're going to Super Bowl. I mean, I think he's backed off a little bit from that.
You know what we talked about? Remember what you and I talked about that time about Rex? We were like, listen, if he doesn't do anything, I mean, the story's going to get a little old quick. I mean, what is he now, 3 seasons? Coming up, you know what I mean? I mean, listen, how much could you keep saying, yeah, we're going to do this? You know what?
Yeah,
you know,
Rex
when it comes
wonderful.
Down to it, the proof is in the pudding. What
right.
are you doing? You know, because, hey, you know, how many times do we go to games and hear, oh, same old Jets. People are going to get tired after a while.
Oh, gang, let's say this. He did take us to 2 championship round, 1 game from the Super Bowl, and he still has a record.
Twice. I don't care what you tell me.
Twice.
Don't give me an explanation. They blew it. They were stupid.
And
the
he did. And hold on, and he does have the rookie record for a touchdown pass playoff game. But Dusty, once again, I concur. They didn't win. Gang, real quick.
You know, the whole thing about him, Rex, is the fact that when he does go to the playoffs, you got to understand, he gets blinded by all the spotlights. And that's what happens.
There you go.
That's what happens to him. He's all right for the regular season because it's gone. But what happens to him, he see all these lights, and the lights a little brighter when you hit the big stage and everything. And you got to understand, Mark came through a industry, and everybody don't understand this. When you're an athlete, you come into New York City, you got to stand up and really deliver. Now, what they thought they had Mark as, they thought he was another Joe Namath. You got to
understand,
Joe came here. Joe predicted that we were going to win the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
okay? And Joe Namath delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay, he delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this kid got $55 million, he had to say we're going to win the Super Bowl. He had to deliver. $55 million could not sit on the bench. Okay?
Exactly.
I think that what you needed, I go with Rusty, you needed a seasoned quarterback to be behind him.
Yep.
But they didn't. That's what Joe Namath had. He had a seasoned quarterback was behind him when he was coming into the league. So they gave him a lot of information.
Babe Parilli, as you say, Harold.
Right.
Babe Parilli was the backup.
And so that was the whole thing for Joe to be a great player like he did and predict like he did as a player. But this kid don't have what you have, And then, like I said, the coach is real new, and he's now hitting to the Super Bowl. I mean, going to the playoffs, and them lights get brighter, and he can't see what his plays are. I mean, he's just getting all into the light. He's shining, turns his hat around. You know, he thinks he's cool. I mean, instead of thinking about what he's got to do in this playoff.
Who they should have drafted was I think they should have brought Dante Culpepper there, or even Donovan McNabb would have been a backup quarterback.
Right.
Because
that's
if he gets hurt, the McNabb situation
is one that we talked about. We had the whole group.
Yeah.
Listen, I got a little surprise for you. I want everybody to. I can't figure out who this guy. Can you listen? Who is this guy?
Legendary Howard Weston, only African McMaster making history, Madison Square Garden. And you tell me some interesting things here. We're talking your fight with Tommy Hearns is a blueprint for victory and for both Marvis Marvin Hagler and Ray Leonard. And you said Ray called you, Howard.
Yeah, I mean, Ray called me and asked me basically how did the guy punch and what his hand speed was like and everything. And
what'd you tell him?
I told him I can punch really hard. I mean, I didn't feel his punches, but I said one shot that he hit you wouldn't hurt you with that right hand to the body. He had to paralyze you. And so basically I told Ray, you know, you guys got to stay away from the guy. And, you know, you got to be really move your head a lot. And Ray said, I'm going to move for 5 rounds. I said, if you move for 5 rounds, you're going to lose 5 rounds. He said, I don't care. He said, I'm not looking to go the distance. He said, you know, after 5, then I'll step up after he loses some of that strength. And so his idea was definitely worked. So, you know, he came out, but he was losing the fight going into that 14th round.
Yeah, and you said the same thing about Marvin Hagler, the same thing too, right?
Well, Marvin told me, he said, I'm going to fight him the way you fought him out. He said, I'm going to walk right to him. You know, he said, one thing about me, I can punch a little bit better than you. He said, but I'm going to walk right to him. I said, well, you better watch that right hand. And in the first round, Tommy hit him with that right hand, froze Marvin. But Marvin had that gutsy feel, you know, fighting him, so that's how he won. And Tommy started getting tired. And you know, remember, it was a 3-round fight, and it was blazing for 3 rounds. So Tommy got tired, and that's when Marvin knocked him out.
Thanks,
well, if Tommy had stamina, nobody would have been able to beat him.
Really unbeatable?
Yeah, unbeatable.
Would he have beat Ray Robinson?
It would have been a hell of a fight. Tommy could fight, man. I mean, people don't know Tommy could fight, and he had a lot of heart. I mean, Tommy was no joke. I mean, he was vicious. He scared everybody to death when they walk in the ring. That's what happened to everybody. That's when Duran got knocked out. Duran could never beat Tommy Hearns.
Who scared him?
He was scared of him. Tommy's like a, believe me, you're looking at the way in, he looked like nothing. Looked like a skinny guy. But sure enough, when you get in that ring, he looked like a big mountain.
What about Tommy and Too Sweet Doc Stanley?
Oh, yeah, I think Doc Stanley would have had a little shot.
Thanks for that. Doc Stanley, fourth and seventh.
I thought you was real, Howard.
On the break, Rainbow Soda.
Well, I am real.
Fourth and seventh is the show. Hey, come on. Hey, girl. Hey, did you ever see Too Sweet on the Street?
I am with a beaten Doc.
Who that?
I am boy, chopped it over with a beaten
Doc. I just tell somebody, if he mess with me, I take him in 3. Gang, be right back in a minute. Big C, you still with us? Okay, well, he's got the boy. Okay, this is what I wanted to do. I want to get Rooney in here. And C-Wing is still with us and going to do some more interviews. Rooney, Giants almost blew that game today. I mean, I think today's game, they're 5-2, couldn't be 4 with their record. They lose today's game, the season is over. Today, they kind of recharged themselves and maybe dodged a bullet, Rooney.
Yep.
Speaking of the Giants now, Doc.
Well, who else played today at that stadium, Rooney? Come on,
Rooney. Yeah, I was having a little trouble with the reception.
Rooney, take that mask off, baby.
I was having a little trouble with the reception.
Mask off, Rooney.
And answer to your question.
Mask off.
To your question, Doc, this game actually shouldn't have been that difficult.
Wow.
I mean, I doubt Miami is as bad as their record actually shows. They actually have been in a lot of the games that they've lost in the last minute. Similar to today, you know, they were in the game. They were winning the game. And, of course, it got away from them, much like the World Series. Miami's having trouble closing the show. But they have better games, and even though they say you are what your record says you are, I really think they're better than, what is it, 0-17 now?
the Giants, I guess, in the end did what they, you know, had to do to win. But I wasn't really that impressed by them. I didn't think they should have been behind in this game. They trailed the whole game until, you know, basically the fourth quarter when they took the lead and kept it. But you're right, Doc. You used the perfect phrase, dodge the bullet. Dodge a big one. And I would love to have been, and I know you, Lady A, and who have been in many a full football locker room, I would love to have been a fly on the wall to see what Tom Coughlin had to say to them at halftime.
Yeah.
I tell you, you had to be the fly on the wall. I have the coach here, and he told him at halftime, okay, that's a bad first half. It's over with. We got a second half of football to play. And we'll listen to him later on. We're going to listen
to... you see, Doc, to support what he said was the fact that last week or 2 weeks ago, I think C-Wing said something about the Giants' trip. And this is what I was trying to emphasize, but you cut me off, is the Giants' trip. After Miami, they have a tough road trip. I said, wait a minute. Not after Miami. Through Miami, they have a tough, because they blew that game. They were losing, and I was so angry. I was rooting for Miami to embarrass their ass.
Okay, Dusty.
Let me finish.
No,
Dusty.
We got to watch those words. We got children
okay,
listening.
Family show, but you know what you got on.
And another thing,
it was good for them.
When I cut you off. This is still Sports and Depth. You know, I still have your green card. I can send you back, baby.
Okay. I forgot.
Viva Puerto. Listen,
no,
you tell everybody you're Puerto Rican.
You are from Cuba. No. You forgot that the Jones Act made Puerto Rican citizens. So you can't say my green card.
Hey, Dusty, what act was that?
The 1929, the Jones Act. Puerto Rican citizens. So I don't want to hear your crap.
Hey, Jesse, is that the Junior Jones Act?
Is that the Junior Jones? Junior Jones. But to finish up this theme here, they pull victory out of a possible defeat. And the fact of the matter is that this is what I'm saying, that you never underestimate a scrub team, because as an example, segue into this, if DiStino was fighting Joe Canvas back today, and 3 months from now, I have a tough road trip, and the next step is Manny Pacquiao, I'm going to say, well, I got Joe Canvas back. I'll go to Joe Canvas back, but I'm thinking of Manny Pacquiao. Joe Canvas back kicks my butt, man. And guess what happens? Joe Canvas back gets a shot with Manny Pacquiao. That's as an example of what I'm trying to say. You never underestimate the team. The Miami Dolphins look like winners. And what was it, 17-3 or something like that? Manny got sacked. I lost count. And in a sense, I was happy, glad, because my man Victor Cruz, a Puerto Rican, got the touchdown to go ahead and stay ahead for good. I mean, but they played good football in the second half, but they were going to lose. And I was hoping Miami would embarrass their ass.
Dusty, you bring up a point that everybody talks about.
I have to agree with Dusty with that.
Go ahead. Real quickly, because it's what the players in the locker room said. They said, you know, they may be a team that hasn't won a game, but they're a very good football team. And the guys in the Miami locker room said, one guy was funny. He said, if it was a 50-minute game, we would be undefeated right now.
Exactly.
But C-Wings, go ahead.
But I have to piggyback on what Dusty said. He's absolutely right. If you really look at it, this should have been the second bye week the Giants had. Because Miami is winless. They're like the Colts, winless.
Yeah.
But you can't underestimate the underdog. When you look today with the biggest game, I think that, besides the Baltimore-Arizona game, which they made history in coming back in
absolutely
their biggest margin of being down, and they came back to beat Arizona 30-27.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the New Orleans and St. Louis Rams game.
Right.
That was the biggest shock of the day.
Exactly.
They beat New Orleans 31-21.
Exactly.
I mean, these teams that
Ravens who were down and came back and pulled their game out, C-Wings?
Yeah, I mean, they made history today. They came back
absolutely
in the biggest margin of being down. They came back in the last few seconds. and you know, kick the field goal and beat Arizona. Mm-hmm. But when you look at a team like the Rams, beat, you know, they beat the Saints.
Right.
The Saints.
That was shocking.
But you guys aren't even talking about the Jets playing Buffalo. Buffalo looked ridiculous today. And look how many sacks they had on this guy today. Is it on the quarterback, on the freaking Redskins. They look scary. Huh. I hope the Jets are ready. I hope the Jets are ready for the next few teams, the next couple of weeks. Because, like you said, C-Wings, they got a tough schedule coming up.
Oh, forget they have the toughest schedule I've seen in 20 years in the NFL. They have to play New England. Then they have to fly across country. I mean, it's a zigzag. they go to play New England. Then they fly across country to play San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
They come back and host the Philadelphia Eagles, who me and Doc were just talking about. What was that, 2 weeks ago, Doc?
Mm-hmm.
That they're not out. They're not out. Washington's losing. The Giants are winning. Dallas is losing. I mean, they're being killed.
And then you got a team like Philadelphia. You got a team like Philadelphia that everybody sleeps on because they have four losses. And now look how they're playing right now against Dallas.
Yeah.
So it's anybody.
Said when they beat Washington, and I remember talking to the astute Jamie Harris, Andrew Rosario for Latino Sports, and I said, fellas, they're not out of it. They're 2-4. The Giants had just lost that game to Seattle. I said, this doesn't hurt them. I said, they got the bye week, and then they're going to play three games at home, and two of those games are going to be within the division. They're beating Dallas right now, so now they're 3-4 with another division win because they beat Washington. And, you know, well, their biggest problem is that they have to do something with the offensive line. They have to protect Vic. But, you know, they're a really good football team. Have an outstanding coach. He's a guy that never gets a lot of credit. What we got to do, gang, we're going to take a little break here for the spot. Then we'll come back some interview, talk some more football and everything. I got to talk some baseball, too. But right now, go back to control board. Big C, give us a little spot hit, and then we'll get back to the sports in-depth line and talk. Remember, Doc Stanley, Sports In-Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports In-Depth is your show. We'll be back in uno momento. Big C, roll 'em.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You are listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley. Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports In Depth Show. Two of my lines that I always use in talking and in remembrance, and I learned one other day, you know, blessed is he who gives and doesn't remember, who receives and doesn't forget. And the great line of Muhammad Ali, service to others is rent you pay for your space on earth. And Dr. King, life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? This past week, LT, Donaldson, the great running back who now with the Jets, was at an affair, a South African artist, and you know, he has his foundation. And we got a chance to go back and talk to this not only great football player, but great human being. My mother's classic line is, you know, only what you do for Christ will last. And you always take your hat off to the people who give back, the people who remember. And I remember so much about Derek Jeter. His first year, he was a rookie. He's up in Harlem with the legendary Larry Hardesty and the great John Stock, giving out a rookie. He started the Turn 2 Foundation because he did it in modeling and remembering his idol, Dave Winfield. You know, and a lot of reasons why he wanted to wear 13 was his dad's number and was Winfield's number reversed. And it just, you know, and LT, you know, he wears number 21, and he'll talk about why he wears 21. And I remember when he left, I said, you know, you wear 21 because it also signifies that you're second to no one. Let's take a minute to talk to this great football player and human being as he talks about his foundation and give us a little insight of him. You know, last week we talked to him a little bit in the locker room, but let's sit back and talk to LT. Here's on Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network.
Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports In Depth. The show, hero of Roma. You don't see more than football hero. Service to others is rent you pay for your space on earth. Muhammad Ali. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. King, son of man came to not to serve. You're saying a lot. The organization, talk about how it started. This says a lot about you reaching out to help your fellow man.
Well, you know, this is something that I've always you know, wanted to do as far as starting a foundation to help others. And, you know, it started with early on with my parents. You know, I had the type of parents that were very generous, you know, really helped others, you know, brought people to live with us, you know, that didn't have anywhere else to stay. You know, just fed people, just did general stuff. So I saw that at a young age. And that's why my foundation focuses on families in need, you know, teaching social cultural awareness, creating positive self-esteem and education. That's what we're about, you know. That's what we do. So, you know, we feed families, whatever we need to do in the community, that's what we do to uplift our fellow man.
This is right about you, too, you know, and you come from a club where the family tradition is part of five of your family. You, just what has it been like coming from the West Coast to the East Coast?
It's been obviously different, you know, the cold weather, you know, the toughness that you have to have to play here, the busy streets, you know, it's totally different. West Coast obviously laid back, you know, sun shining all the time, which is nothing wrong with that, but, you know, it's different type of football when you come to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Last two questions, and you talked about Sunday, closure, finally playing against the San Diego Chargers, the team that had been your family, the team that you had so much great years with. But it came, you saw them, Sunday was closure, and the W made some good closure.
It did. You know, it really did. It, you know, it kind of was, you know, a sense of comfort, you know, to know that, you know, here I am with this team, and you know, I feel like, you know, I'm on a better team, mm-hmm. you know, and so in a better situation, you know, and so was really happy with that. But not only that, happy with the men, you know, on our football team. You know, we came back from being down. We continued to fall. Yeah, ridden off. You know, we weren't going to win the game. You know, we didn't have what it takes to come back and fight like we did to overcome so many obstacles. Said a lot about our team.
Said a lot about you. You've been a leader on the field, off the field. You've got a lot of confidence, a lot of leadership, and some things that intangibles that just not seen on the football field. So we'll take hats off to you. Number 21, why?
Well, two of my favorite running backs coming up, you know, when I was a kid, Emmitt Smith, 122, Barry Sanders, 120. I couldn't choose between the numbers 20 or 22, so I had to choose 21 to get right between them.
And you're on your way to the Hall of Fame like them, too. Always a pleasure to see you, my friend. Thanks a lot for the time. God bless you.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Pat Stanley, Sports and Live, LT, a hero in the world of football and life.
And like I said, number 21 is the right number for him because he is second to no one. And it was really good to talk to him. And I'll tell you something. You know, show me your friends, I'll show you. And the people he had, his brother and his cousin. And, you know, I haven't been around those kind of people where the class, the character, the professionalism, the courtesy, and the always aspect of being blood, taking care of blood. It hasn't been since the 60s that you had that. And I remember looked in and the brothers peeped me, took my cart. He said, hey, man, I had to make sure you were taken care of. You know, to others I am somebody. Service to others, you know. It was just really, and I had a feeling that this young man was special and his people around him were special. His brother, his cousin, his friend, it was just an honor and just a delight to the heart and soul to see the kind of class and character, not only that he had, but the people that associate and represent him. That's important because you can't tell everybody's your friend. You have to have the right people, and he's got the right people. And it was just a pleasure, and he's going to be doing some more things with us. He wants us to promote and also acknowledge. He's going to do something for Thanksgiving for a lot of people. This is a special, special young man and a great, great football player. We're going to talk some football in a minute.
Doc,
and,
we remember we had that same feeling and that same vibe with Darrell Revis last week. Remember that?
Oh yeah. He came out. He chatted and you know I'll never forget. You know, and the thing I've said this has been my line. You know, if Muhammad Ali has time for autographs and pictures, if Muhammad Ali has time, then everybody should because everybody is a distant second. And this cat is in that same class. This young man is just in that same class. And it's just and you're right. You know, Lady A, and I mean, Delvis came out. He talked. Holmes sometimes gets a bad rap, but you know, we sit down and he talks a little bit. It's just good to see, you know, the foundation, the core of us, you know, looking out for each other. And you're right, Delvis Revis.
You meant Darrell. Darrell.
Yeah, because I remember I said that Delvis, and sometimes, did you see what you said? No, it's Revis. And it was just, you know, it was good. It was a good affair. South African artist, and he said the thing about meeting Mandela, maybe we'll have a chance to run this up, about meeting Mandela, he said, Mandela is a humble man. You know, there's nothing special about me. And that great line from Don King to others, I am somebody. I want to go back to Rooney real quick. Rooney, and I'm going to talk in an interview with McKenzie about this. I felt that playing New England off of the loss against Pittsburgh now and in New England, the Giants are going to be really more focused and more determined because it's going to be that me against the world attitude. I think they have a better chance of beating New England, Rooney, in New England than what they would have had in Giants in New York City or in MetLife Stadium. Your thoughts on that, Rooney?
Well, Doc, I think they'll probably be bearing down more. They know New England's going to be tough on the road as usual. They're always tough in their house. They're going to be ticked off after this, after the loss this week anyway. Belichick's going to be cracking the whip all week. No question about that. And as, like you said, Doc, I think they're going to go on to New England much more focused. I don't know, for some reason, I don't know, the New York teams, I'm including the Jets too, at times seem to be kind of a mental letdown when they're at home. I don't know if it's that home cooking going on or the comfortability factor or what.
Popeye chicken.
But I'm really looking for the Giants to kind of turn it up a notch.
You bring up that great line of yours, a point well taken, because I remember Jesse Barfield was telling me that, you know, when you're on the road, you're more focused, you're more relaxed.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about, you know, the two tickets for my mom and dad and those four for my cousin. You know, here's my lady, my wife calling me right now. You know, I'm here, they're there, they're taken care of. I can be more focused and determined. Gentlemen, ladies, let's take a quick moment to go into the Giant locker room, listen to the coach's interview, and then we're going to talk to Brandon Jacobs and Kareem McKenzie, and then the rest of the game we'll be just talking about I guess somehow boxing will get in the picture. Harold West. Harold is here.
Harold.
Here we go. Coach Laughlin.
Well, you got he demonstrated once again the unique ability to get himself open to make the play for our team when we needed it. He did a nice job. Can we enjoy this one for him? Perhaps we can talk about that another time.
One at a time.
Yeah, you know, we had done that the week before. And, you know, it began to difficult for us to get the ball back. I think that's one of the biggest problems. We had some sustained drives, some long drives, and they executed well, and we didn't execute quite as well. But happy to say we played better than that.
Can you talk about the job that Corey Webster did?
Nothing I can tell you until I talk to the doctors.
Can you talk about the job Corey Webster did on Brandon Marshall?
Well, he's drawn the tough assignment week in and week out. He's once again did an outstanding job. Brandon Marshall is an outstanding, strong, physical wide receiver. He's up high for the ball. Corey battles in there, and at key times in the game seems to be able to pump the beast up.
Brandon is
very, very, very important.
Why?
Well, because, you know, we want to be 5-2 moving into this part of our schedule.
Now, what will happen to that?
There was none whatsoever. We just, as I told the team, you know, that was the bad end. You know, let's put that one behind us. Let's do something about it. Now, we planned on kicking off and stopping them. They drove me right back down the field, but after that, it was much better.
Feels good to be back in action.
we're working at it.
I'm starting to come off of a bye. I mean, the team has started, but it's had some trouble coming out of byes, and other teams this year have had tough times coming out of byes. What's it like coming out of a bye and playing a team like the Dolphins?
Typically, we've always been a team to struggle after a bye, for whatever reason that is. But, you know, we fought through adversity today and you know, and grabbed the hole in the fourth quarter and got the win.
What's the struggle after
the bye? I don't know what it is. It seemed like a lot of people hadn't got their funny games out. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm with them. I mean, me too. You know, I don't know what it is. Been in the league for 7 years. This is my seventh time. I think we struggled.
You said it didn't go the way you wanted it to. What did you mean by that?
We're not dwelling on my problems. We're talking about a win.
Rock Stanley Sports is up on the Blake Ritter Network, and now we'll talk to Kareem McKenzie and Big Mac, off the bye week, the victory.
Yes, sir. You know, it wasn't as pretty as we would have liked it to have been, but it was a win nonetheless, and it feels good to be back.
Yeah, no ugly wins. Coach said, you know, first half, told you guys, that's over with. Bad first half. Let's go out here and have a good second half.
That's it. I mean, pretty much there's nothing you can do about it right now during the game. What you did in the first half, all you can do is learn from your mistakes and play better.
Kareem, you know, I guess it's inevitable. You're playing a team that is not good for football team, a team that hasn't won, and sometimes maybe psychologically you maybe come down to the level a little bit. You have to watch yourself.
Well, first and foremost, let's go ahead and clear something up. You know, they're not a good football team. I wouldn't say so. You know, they've had opportunities to win. It just hasn't come together for them yet. And as you can see today, that, you know, they played very well. You know, they were able to go out there and do some things, stop us on defense, and score some points on offense. You know, so I mean, they are a good team. I mean, and that's why you can't go ahead and just discount anyone team that you're playing in the NFL. Now, with that being said, do we play down to their level? I don't think so. They present some unique challenges, as usual, and it was a tough game all around.
Kareem, off the bye week, you guys seem to always have some adjustments to make. It seems to be a tradition, but the big thing, the W.
That's the main thing. You know, anytime you can come away with a win, you can go ahead and look at the film tomorrow and learn from it, and hopefully we can go ahead and make some strides and try and reach our goal of perfection.
I think next week, you guys, as you say, a tough schedule. We're up in New England, but I think no doubt you'll be prepared. And going on the road, I think you kind of have an attitude of us against the world.
Well, that's basically what it is, you know, because it's very rarely, if ever, do you see an away stadium with more people rooting for the away team than it would be the home team. You know, you really never see that. So that's definitely the mindset that we carry, and something that, you know, is to our benefit to a certain extent.
Kareem, how are you feeling? 100%, 85%? Where are you at, you know, at this point of the season?
If anybody ever told you during week 8 of the NFL season they were 100%, honest to goodness, I need to know what they're taking, because it's not possible. But me, you know, I feel pretty good.
Kareem, congratulations. Thanks a lot for talking once again.
Thank you, sir.
Doc Stanley Sports and Death on the Blake, good with Rainbow Souls is the channel. Sports and Death is the show. And Kareem McKean, what do you say?
He was really funny. He said, if you can find anybody that's 100%, I want to find out what they're taking, because I'm going to tell on them. He said, I'm going to tell on them. He said, I'm going to tell them. Doc told me, and tell them. Okay, we're back. We've got a good half hour here left. We've done our interviews. We're going to talk and everything. We've got some, it's got some fights coming. But see, we're back.
Can I ask you something, Doc?
Go ahead.
Is Hoops to join us tonight? I just want to know what's going on with the NBA.
I'm trying to catch in with Hoops, yeah, because things don't look good. And,
no.
And, you know, the perpetrator of a fraud is a great line from the Marion B. Boykin, and the B always stands for Black Bodacious Brilliant Brother. You know, they had this big, long meeting. Talked about training, too, and they said, you know, this long meeting stuff don't mean anything. And Hoops told us, once again, here first, ladies and gentlemen, on Sports Network, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbows, Hoops told you months ago the season wasn't going to start, games were going to be canceled, and there's a very good chance that there won't be any season. And Bob Trainer said something today. I called him Mr. No. He said, you know, they don't understand what the NHL did, okay? They wanted a certain amount of money. They didn't play a whole season, but they came back and got what they wanted. And maybe the NBA players are doing the same thing now.
Well, Hoopster has said last week, too, that they're talking about starting their own league, Doc. You think that's something that they're considering, too?
Never happened.
They'll have some subs. I mean, I think they could have some games or little participation, but it's not going to supplant the NBA. I mean,
they're not going to start their own league, Doc. They're not going to start their own league thing. I think they're going to play a relatively short season. I think they're going to play ball this year. I really do. I just think it's going to be a relatively short.
They were saying
78
games. That's what I'm asking you, Doc. They were talking about 78 games.
Well, but I don't know.
78
games. I mean, you've already knocked out. If you go back to the middle of this month, I mean, 78 games is only that's only four less games in the whole season. So you mean to tell me that you can still play 78 games? Hell,
I mean, that's what they were talking about in the paper. I mean,
Lady A.
I don't see it happening.
Me either.
I don't see it happening.
If they can play 78 games, what the heck? You can play 82?
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, if you can play 78, I mean, you can play 82 games. That's four more games.
Right.
I mean, you can even do some old-time double hitters and stuff like that. But yeah, we're going to try to get a hold of Hoops.
Double-header basketball.
Yeah, but I remember, man, you know, they used to have them at the Garden, I mean, during the preseason. You had the Celtics against Detroit, and then the Knicks would play somebody, you know, something like that. And it was great. I mean, you get to see two games. I mean, this is before, you know, back in Dusty's day when, you know, they were all out of cages and stuff. I mean, when they played with the leather ball and they shot the ball.
Leather ball.
Well, hey, Doc, you know, I think that being a situation, I think in most sports people would love that. I mean, like, even like back in, I remember back like 5 years ago, Seth, remember when you and I went to the Garden and Don King had a fight card that was crazy, like five feature fights. Remember that? I mean,
right,
I think most sports fans would love that.
Well, that was,
you know, like,
about Don,
talking about the same thing,
I remember going out to Vegas, and I see Robert Lee Jr. rushing. I said, Rob, where are you going? It's the first fight night. He says, yeah, Doc, but it's a championship fight.
Yeah. It's the title,
the first fight of the night. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, on the Blake Ritter Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel. They're here. The First Lady of Boxing and Sports here, Lady A, the Incomparable, Harold Weston Jr., the Renownable, one and only Dia Zussi, Tina Baby Lewis, hey, little Coco, no one need to be say, the mask.
Wear the black tights and the blue trim tonight, Doc.
and your mask, don't forget that, because the Doc called you on that, baby.
Hey, lady, hey, what's that line that Eddie, boy, you look pretty good in that tight tonight. And also the one and only, and see, when you were here last week, and the panel, and also some of the NFL players, we once again wanted to send you our deepest sympathy in the loss of your uncle.
Oh, yeah.
You've been in our prayers, and you're always in our hearts. We got a little cutting for you, but we just wanted to let you know that we're here for you. And, you know, in any situation, this whole panel, 24/7, the line is open. And that great line from Sister Stetch, we are family. And you all here, we're here for you. And we just want to extend this. Big C is back with us tonight, and we just wanted to let you know, everybody here, from the CEO, Mr. Neil Blake, the First Lady of Radio here, Lady D, and all the other hosts at the Blake Radio Rainbow Soul, you've been in our prayers and our hearts, our deepest felt sympathy to you and your family. And, you know, if you're not feeling well, we're not feeling well. And as you start to get better, we will get better. And, you know, don't be under the misconception that we like you. We don't like you. We love you. You are family, and we just want to let you know that even though we hadn't get in contact with you and stuff, but you're in our hearts, you're in our prayers, and everybody here from the CEO on down, and that means names from Mr. Neil Blake on down to the lowest guy, which is Dusty here. You all.
I really do appreciate that, and from the bottom of my heart, and on behalf of myself and my family, I like to say thank you to you all. It's that support that helps you get through tough times like this today, and helps you with that. I would say the exhaling past the mourning period, and I really do thank you all for that.
Yeah, well, you know, these things happen. It's the point upon man wants to die, and then the judgment. Really quick, we got to move. We got a good 20. Dusty, let's talk baseball here. I thought two things in the World Series, that you know, you got a one strike away two times, and I thought I went back. Doesn't mean it's the will of God. I went back to that situation, and because you know. If the game almost ended on a triple play, the Beltran doesn't charge that ball, but he had to charge the ball. But the bunt that the pitcher had laid down in the third base and went to the shortstop, I'm thinking, Dusty, and we will, because we're quick, I'm thinking, you know, two things here. He should have had the runners running. I mean, because the first baseman is charging, the third baseman is charging. So at worst, if the shortstop's going to because the second baseman's got to go cover first. I mean, I thought he should have had the runners running. He may have wound up with the bases loaded, or at worst, a man out at third, first, and second. Dusty?
He should have had him running, but I don't know what the hell happened with the signals, or the signals got crossed, or what the hell he was looking at, man. I mean, it was something that was bizarre. But, you know, if you're going to talk about mistakes that turn that give advantage to the miracle team, you know, you gotta go back in history and make comparisons. If I follow your thought, where you got the 86, the Mets with Boston,
Buckner.
And my lord, Boston was winning three games to two, and they were and the Boston was killing Doc Gooden. And all of a sudden, Davey Johnson, with his smarts, he pulls out Doc Gooden, brings in, everybody forgot about Sid Fernandez. Sid Fernandez cool Boston.
Number 5-0 from Hawaii.
Yeah, and they were still, and then Boston still started screaming ahead. And then here come Mookie Wilson with his foul and fouls. And hits that ball, and Bill Buckner, gold glove, the ball goes right through.
Remember, the big thing, too, was you knew Buckner couldn't run. You knew he had a bad knee. The move was, everybody said, why does he not have Don Baylor at first base who can guard the line?
Don Baylor, he sat him on the bench.
Who could guard
the line? He didn't move him at all.
Who could guard the line?
That was Don Zimmer.
You guard the line. If the game goes extra innings, I think Baylor had been on the team, had won the pennant the last 2 years. It's just amazing.
Yep.
And it's just amazing that I keep agreeing with you. Next week, I'll probably use an alias when I say, hello, my name is Willie Wilson, and I agree with the senior baby Lois.
Look, you can use one of my masks.
Hey, Dusty. Hey, Rooney, I want them all pink tights, baby. I'm serious. Give me them all pink tights.
Yeah.
You keep the mask.
Indeed. So getting back to here, the recent... First of all, I don't know if you all agree with me. Oh, this is funny. If you all agree with me, but this happened to me, one of the best Super Bowl, my God, World Series that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
It went to 7 games, nip and tuck. The game was over in the 6th game when Freeze, I think, hit that fly ball and Nelson Cruz, gold glove, blows it. He miscalculated and 2 runs came in and they tied it. And I'm saying, well, what is this? Are these the miracle Mets of 2011? Because everything was up against them.
Mm-hmm.
And here they come in the second, and then La Russa, I mean, very astutely brings in, was it Carpenter, on 3 days rest. And the man was fantastic. He slowed them down. But what I didn't understand about the other manager, that he brings in Holland as a relief man, when he should have saved them. And I'm saying, this guy's not thinking. He's desperate.
He was going to cut the throat. Roxy, real quick, your gut feeling, just real quick. Is Albert Pujols going to come back to St. Louis?
I'm glad you asked me that, because I was just going to say that to you. Albert Pujols turned down a 10-year, $200 million contract.
From the Cardinals?
Okay? Yeah, from the Cardinals. He doesn't, because he's looking through his agent, Boras, who's a famous agent, looking for A-Rod money, which will never happen. So it has been said by management that instead of the 10-year, $200 million, make it more juicy and give him 8 years for $200 million. So that means a man will make over $20 million for the next 8 years. 8 years, and he's 31 now, is what? He'll be 39. Going on 40, ready to retire. So that's... I'm hoping he comes back. I don't really know where the hell is he going. No team is going to pick him up. Boras also is doing the same negotiation for Prince Fielder. Now, who is going to pick up Prince Fielder? They were talking about Prince Fielder going into the Yankees. How could they do that when they got Texada on first base?
Boras has a history of doing this, where he does this.
He's getting his ball players the monies, and that's the through. He's getting the ball players the monies, and that's what I like about Boris. He's getting money.
Yeah, but
for
hold
the
on, Dusty. He's a little out there too. Come on, because let's think about some of the things he was trying to do for Alex Rodriguez when they were trying to bring him to the Mets too. I mean, he's a little far out too with some of his demands for the contract.
Well, as an agent, if I were an agent, I'll be demanding too because hey,
lady,
my
I'm
ball Dusty.
He can ask for what he wants. He can
exactly.
ask for the moon. You know what I mean?
If
you don't ask
for
it,
the moon,
you don't know if they'll give it to you.
And we'll settle for half the moon.
Listen for the moon. Give me Mars. I'll take Mars.
That's
I don't need
right.
the moon.
But the
I'll
fact of the matter is that A-Rod was given the biggest contract in baseball, which nobody's going to. And then the Yankees turn around and compound a felony and give him another 10 years, and he's still making his, what, $325
yeah.
million?
And,
okay,
I heard it,
and he has
you know
four
what?
More
Tell
years to go.
Dusty, you know what else I heard? They're gonna still have enough money in their salary cap to get your boy here, Manny Ramirez.
No, I'm gonna send Manny Ramirez to the rehab center. That's where he's going.
Gang, let's move along from baseball. Let's get back to football real quick.
Getting back to Pujols, it'd be a sad thing that if he leaves because of money. But I don't blame him. Hold on, you got right now. You have enough Hall
of Fame
numbers.
You gotta get paid. No, Albert Pujols only played today.
I fight for the athlete.
Let's get back to football real quick. Sea Wings, Jets, Giants, right now, from what you see, are they going to make the playoffs?
The Jets, in order for the Jets to make the playoffs, they basically have to
get rid of Rex Ryan.
They have to turn it around, and when I mean turn it around, they have to get that offensive identity back again, which they don't have. They're
right.
A team without identity. They beat the San Diego Chargers and Phillip Rivers, which they seem to be able to beat that team. And a lot of teams seem to be able to beat San Diego. And Phillip Rivers is a good – I think he's a great quarterback. But
tremendous quarterback.
You know, I wasn't too enthusiastic about that win last week.
Right.
I believe that the Giants, the way that they play today, they're in trouble with it's like they're giving up. It's like let the wide receivers do it. It's like the team has given up.
I'm
speechless on that. And the Giants are the gentlemen of the New York teams.
Let me ask you a question though, C-Wings, now that we're talking football, or that we are talking football. What is your perspective of Sanchez? I mean, you got teams that are really could hit coming up. I mean, if this guy gets hurt, what are our options if we get it for the second stringer? I mean,
we'd have to play Burrell, but that's the thing I've been saying.
But he's not a Vinny Testaverde.
Well, the problem too is the line doesn't seem to be able to. Nick has finally got back. So if they can't protect Sanchez, they won't be able to protect Burrell.
Doc, remember something I wanted to say from the beginning. Doc, I'm sorry. Doc, remember when we were at the game on Sunday?
I was just going to say that offensive line, what will help him out immensely, speaking of Sanchez, number one, that line has to show up, has to be much more consistent than they have been of late. I, for one, was glad that the captain called them out because I thought somebody needed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be more consistent.
So Rooney, hold on.
Rooney, you agree with
Holmes stepping out to him like that?
I think somebody needs to call him out.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No,
hold on. Go ahead, Rooney.
No, I think somebody needed to call him out. Now I know when it comes to team sports, you know, it's really not kosher to call your guys out in public. It's supposed to be behind closed doors, and you pull their coat then. But I really thought somebody needed to call them out. Number two, Sanchez would be helped immensely if he had any type of really great running game so he could do more play action. It would help him out immensely.
I was just going to bring up, if I could just inject this in the conversation, that when Doc and I were at the game last week, one of the things that we saw was you could even see it a little bit, like when you look at them in the huddle, it's like their body language, like they're not, like they weren't, I don't know if you guys saw it.
He's not the leader, lady. Yeah,
like,
what you're saying?
Like, Doc, no, remember we were looking at it, and I told you, I said, Doc, look at them. It's like they're not even really, like, like listening to him. It's like they're not even believing in him anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, well, it's like a high school pickup team that you meet in Central Park and you play on Sunday for a case of beer. That's a, that's where they play.
But Doc, when we went,
and
to,
I'm telling
we
you
went,
right now, I go on record as saying that the Giants and the Jets will not make the playoffs, not even the wild card.
Okay,
right.
Rudy, I mean,
I don't.
Sea Wings,
like,
Sea Wings, go Sea Wings. Sea Wings.
When we covered the Jets in Baltimore game.
Mm-hmm.
They played, they were, I think Sanchez was scared. He played
absolutely.
Like he was scared to play that
gun
team. And in the NFL, you can't play like that.
Yeah.
You can't,
I mean, but in any sports, really. I mean, you're coming to play, you got to play. Just like in boxing, like everything. You're coming into the ring, you know what you're coming up against.
Exactly.
Right, Harold?
Exactly.
You better come ready to fight. It's just like in the same thing in football. You know, you're
exactly.
coming into the arena. You got to step in there and come in ready to play the game. You know,
man up.
But I don't see them. I don't see them. In order for the Jets, they would have to win. I mean, they're coming up with some heavy opponents.
Buffalo. New
then
England.
They got New England.
New England. I mean,
Green Bay. Washington. We play Washington, but you know, we play Philadelphia and Philadelphia. We, you know, we struggled there, even when we played them in the preseason. I mean, it's a struggle. It's a tough environment to play in. We play Green Bay. We play the Giants. I see the only team they really don't have a problem with is maybe Washington. That's about it. But
yeah.
The way that Philadelphia is playing now, the way that I see it, we're in trouble.
He's making huge money. And they gave up an awful lot in terms of draft choices to get him. So unless he comes under some type of unforeseen injury, the guy's going to be there, and he's going to be the quarterback.
So Rooney, in other words, unless Schottenheimer goes, he's not going either.
but Doc, I'll tell you this.
You're my coordinator, Doc. You're my favorite guy now.
Your man Schottenheimer, baby. Harold Weston Jr. Harold,
but
I'll
tell you this.
Good.
I'll tell you this real quick.
Good.
I don't care whether it's the Jets, Giants, Miami, who you know, who, New England, whoever plays well.
Mm.
I tell you, the only way to get that Vince Lombardi Trophy, you're
right.
gonna have to go through Green Bay again
yeah,
this year. The way that they're playing, he
Rodgers?
Has 125 point. I think it's 7 quarterback rating, 20 touchdowns. I mean,
right.
this guy is phenomenal. And he was
exactly.
picked 24th overall by the Green Bay.
He was
that was due to his size. Yeah,
well,
that was,
you know what?
That was due to his size.
If Brett Favre was still there, he'd still be sitting on the bench.
Exactly.
I was about to say that.
He'd still be sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
if Brett Favre was still there.
This is what I mean about the learning process of a quarterback. You
exactly.
don't sign him out of USC
and
tell him
that
he's a
on
franchise.
The show.
Hey, Dusty, that's it. I agree with you. Hang up. That's it. I agree with you. That's enough. I can't take this anymore.
Who mentioned that on the show a few weeks ago there? Oh, gee.
Yeah. Harold Weston Jr. Harold.
Yes.
Okay, we've got 2 or 3 years left of King. We've got 2 or 3 left years of Aaron. You said the best 15-round fighter. Give me, Harold. Your top 5 greatest fighters of all time. Who's your top 5 greatest fighters of all time?
Well, you know, definitely you got to go with Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go with Sugar Ray Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You got to go with Emil Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go with Jose Napoli.
Mm-hmm.
No, take that back. You got to go with Carlos Monzon.
Carlos Monzon? What about Duran?
Durant was all right. Durant was in the top greatest. I mean, you know, that there's some other guys that I just can't get off the top of my head, but there were some little guys that was dynamic. Guy from the Philippines, I forget his name.
What about the Brazilian
Flash
guy?
Flash Lordy. I mean, this guy was fast. You remember?
The Flash Lordy.
Yeah. I mean, this guy was awesome, man. There was quite a few guys.
Well,
mean,
what about the Brazilian
guy,
Edward Jeffries?
Even when you're talking about Sandy Sadler,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he was great. I mean, it was, that's a hard pick. And the
absolutely.
only reason why you say certain things or certain names is because you was in that era. You know the guys.
Right.
You know who was around.
Right.
It's like today's era. You ask these guys today who's the greatest, greatest fighters of all time, they're going to tell you Roy Jones. I mean, it's like a joke. I mean, Roy wouldn't even call these guys. You know, you had Bob Foster as a light heavyweight. How can Roy Jones even compare with a Bob Foster?
I'm going to say Howard Weston five times.
Yeah, you know.
Bob Foster was a killer.
I appreciate that, lady. I'm just talking about guys, because Dusty can tell you. I'm talking about guys that can kill you, okay?
Exactly.
Tommy Hunt.
Can kill you in the ring with their bare hands boxing you. And my point is that I saw these guys because I came
Absolutely.
To an era where these guys were so great that they were so deadly that, you know, they know what you're going to do before you even did it. And that was the amazing part about the boxing world back then. And so my point is that I hate to get in that position of saying my five greatest guys, but it's so hard to pick from because you got to look at from the heavyweight all the way down to the bantamweight.
Absolutely. And it's a big community.
It's a big community. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Some people don't even remember a guy named Virgil Akins.
Yeah,
Virgil Akins was an animal, man. This guy, he destroyed this,
Let me give you a guy his name, and you don't even mention him, Joe Brown. I mean,
Joe Brown, my God,
I mean, this guy was unbelievable, man, of a champion, man.
Right.
He was the first guy that won three world championships in different world class for anybody.
Joe Brown.
Was he Panamanian?
Nah.
No, lightweight.
He was an African American guy. He could fight his butt. He fought, if I'm not mistaken, does he was what? Lightweight, welterweight, and went up to 154 pounds. I mean, not to 160. Won the fight and called it a draw.
Exactly.
Howard, let me ask you a question.
But did he get cheated by when he fought Wallace Bud Smith?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he got cheated.
He got cheated when he fought Wallace Bud Smith.
Yeah.
That was another monster.
Yeah.
Charles
was great. I mean, you know, but see, when you say the five greatest,
that's a hard.
I agree with that.
Well, okay,
Jack
the top 10. Would Joe Louis be in your top 10? Harold? Would Joe Louis be in your top 10?
Oh, yeah, Joe Louis always would have to be in your top 10.
What about Jack Johnson?
Jack Johnson, too. I mean, you got, you know, that's what I'm saying. Jack Johnson, you got to understand about Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson came through an era, like Ali always said, he was the baddest man on the planet.
Exactly.
Listen to my words, the planet. If he was here he had no black organization to protect him, okay?
No. He was by
and
himself.
And he was walking around here kicking white folks' butt, anybody but, okay? And was going to bed with white women, and they still didn't do nothing to him, all right? My point is, we were, at that time, black people were getting killed. 100 black people every weekend was getting killed in the world.
Yeah.
And nobody went to jail for it, okay?
And you know what? Howard brings the point up, because when Jack Johnson won the title, December 26, 1908, all hell broke loose across
and black
yeah,
folks
yeah, we got to be near closing, so I'm waiting for Big C to let us know, so everybody be ready. But go ahead, keep going, Harold.
But how about Jersey Joe Walcott? I mean, Jersey Joe Walcott.
But he didn't fit in this league. I mean, you know, Jack Johnson.
He didn't fit in this league?
He
was the baddest guy around because he was by himself.
The baddest man to ever walk the planet of Earth. Ali can tell you that. He was the baddest man to ever walk the Earth as a man. Okay?
Because he was by
and
himself.
And didn't fear nobody because he had no bodyguard. He did it on his own, bro.
Gang, that's our little cue. We got about 90 seconds. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldiers Channel, Sports and Death is the show. They're here. They're back in next week. We may have to go to 2-hour special one next week. But Harold Weston Jr., the First Lady of Sports, Lady A, this Daniel Baby Lewis, Little Mel Smith, Little Coco, the compo Harold Weston. Want to thank Big C. Big C, thanks a lot for being with us this week. Once again, DocStanley.Sports.com. Check that for the Sportsman Mobilia. The gang will be back next week. Live your life today as you have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? The Son of Man came to serve and not be served. I love this line. I know that I deserve my enemies, but I doubt I deserve my friends. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil, the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Devil, the show. Here you go, Neil. Doc Stanley, Sports and Devil on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Devil, the show. I say good night, goodbye, Larry Hardesty. Take us out of here. Trust in God.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
You know, gang, we'll talk for a minute. I love the last week when we told Dusty we weren't going to be here, and Dusty said it didn't matter. He was going to the Latin Grammys.
And speaking of going to the Latin Grammys, I went to the concert Saturday.
Paquito de Rivera?
Oh, my God, man. I was in my home. I was in my soul. I mean, this was some concert, man. And the legends of, I saw some of my guys that I told you I was a street musician. I grew up with these guys, man, making Repicando in the streets, man. And these guys became famous, man.
Dusty, you were the backup player on the harp for Little David. Cut it out.
I'm telling you. It was great seeing all those guys, man. And then Paquito de Rivera really swung the place, man.
Mm.
The place was packed, even with that bad weather. Man, it was jammed, man, for 3 hours. 3 hours I was in my glory, man.
Lady A, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, I was just going to hit you back about that whole thing for that you sent me for the Jets. So
okay, we'll talk. Harold Weston, you okay? You know, gang, you know, we got to get together because Neil makes a donation. We got to get together and make a little donation every month to help out Neil here with the show. But we got to run. Dusty, tell everybody good night. Let's get rolling, baby.
Buenas noches, mi hermano. Thank you, and God bless all of you, man, and let's keep it going because this is one of the great, no, not the greatest. I'm not saying one. The greatest show, sports show on air, and we're like a family. We argue, we debate, man, but everything is on point. And one of the things that gives me the boost is that article by Tim Smith today. Like if he interviewed all of us, and
word for word, right?
So God
restore
bless
the
love,
though. That was the same thing.
I gotta get that article.
Yeah.
I don't throw anything away.
I'll save it for you, Harold.
I got 1920. You want that? Well, it was a nickel.
3 cents, Dusty. Quit lying. 3 cents. Rooney, you okay?
3 cents. Hey, Doc, I just wanted to let you all know, man, that Sports Talk Nation is really into us, really fearing us, really feeling us. So, I love the panel. I love our fans. This is always a blast. Thank you.
And I'm going to end with two things. I'm going to, in the words of Albert Pujols, baseball's been very, very good to me. And God bless you all. Trusting God. See you later, gang. Love you.
Take care.
Love you all.
Have a good night.
Bye, Harold.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye,
Harold.
Trusting God.